Well, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Rube had mentioned last week some of the things that was taught at the family camp in Pennsylvania. The 1 and 2 Peter were taught. And the theme was, I believe, this verse of scripture we're going to read. Correct me if I'm wrong, Robert. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. But 14 was probably the actual thing, but I'm going to read them both. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought." Am I reading the right one? Yeah.
That's what he says.
Verse 15 was the theme.
Oh, 14 and 15. I wrote 13 and 14. 14. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." And the words, both words there, holy in verse 15, is the same root word for hagios. It's the adjective part of the verb. It basically can be translated sanctified. And so God's saying, be sanctified, just like I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. Set yourselves apart, just like I'm set apart. In all manner of conversation, and conversation basically means lifestyle, manner of living, behavior. And God's will is that the believer reflects what he's been given, lives the life that has the person's been given, all the rights, all the privileges, walking as a son of God with power, and to be separated from that which was before, like it says in verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, the lifestyle we had before we got born again, before we knew God and walked with God. So he wants us to live a way that reflects him, not to live like the devil anymore, not to be stupid anymore. So it got me thinking about it, and one aspect of living life separate from the world is living with the power of the Holy Spirit that we have. We've got Holy Spirit. That certainly makes us a little different than the rest of the world, and that's part of that manner of life, to live with that gift of Holy Spirit in operation. And to begin with, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have the gift of Holy Spirit in us. We all know how we got it, right? Anybody not know how to get it? Well, Henry doesn't know how we got it, but he will learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that, reason being, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man..." And the natural man biblically is a person that does not have the gift of Holy Spirit. They just have a body, which we can all see, and a soul life, which is our breath life. No spirit inside of that body. No spirit in that soul. Just body and soul. That's a natural man. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And that's why the natural man scoffs at truths, scoffs at the things of God, because he doesn't have any understanding. There's no spirit there to help the guy out, to help the person out, to figure things out. We have that Holy Spirit, but people who don't have it. That's pretty logical, right? So can a person that doesn't have the gift of Holy Spirit use the gift of Holy Spirit? No, not available. It's just not even possible. Can the person that has the gift of Holy Spirit in them utilize that gift? Yes. So the question is, are we using that gift of Holy Spirit? Are we setting ourselves apart from the rest of the world by using that which God gave us? And if we don't, or we very little, do very little, then we're living like the unbelievers that don't have one. They're doing the same thing. They're living without gift of the Holy Spirit. If we don't utilize it, we're living the same effects as if we didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. So let's go to Acts chapter 10. So it got me thinking about that verse that Rube read last week and the subject of that camp about these type of things. You know, we are separated from the world. One major way is we have the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. We have the ability to operate all nine manifestations. And if you don't know what they are, it's available to learn. If you don't know what they do, it's available to learn. Certainly a lot of information out there, what they are, how to utilize them. But God wants us to utilize them. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus Christ had the Spirit upon him. We have it created in us. He had it upon him, just like the Old Testament believers that had the Spirit, had it upon them. And a great summation of his life in a teaching that Peter was doing, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He utilized the Spirit that he had upon him to help heal people. When he ministered healing, he was utilizing manifestation of believing, workings of miracles, gifts of healing, most likely word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all those things involved to heal somebody. When he told Lazarus, when Lazarus was dead and he couldn't hear, he was having trouble hearing. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he said it by revelation. He operated the manifestation of believing. And it was a healing for Lazarus to go from death unto life. And it was a working of a miracle. But those words, when he spoke it forth, that dead body responded. Imagine that. That's incredible. The words that popped out of his mouth with believing. But that's using the Spirit. We have that same ability. Unbelievable. And if we're not using it, we're just like the unbelievers that are walking around without one. Just like them. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Remember when I first got in the Word and I started finding out about the gift of Holy Spirit, I thought that was really wild. And then I found out about the manifestations, because when I went to fellowship, there were only three people in the fellowship. It was the only fellowship in the entire state. It was in Utah, and we were at college. And there was the guy running the fellowship did not have speaking in tongues with interpretation or prophecy. He had just gotten the Word, had just learned about them, and he wasn't sure if he could do them or not do them depending on the number of people. So he didn't talk about it and didn't do them. And then one night, about a month or two, we've been having fellowship every night. He teaches on 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And I'm like, holy smokes, you can use that thing? I was shocked that you can manifest something that God gave you like that. I was just absolutely floored. So, you know, since then I've learned a few things on it, but it's just incredible. Luke chapter 24, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, verse 49, familiar verse of scripture to all of us. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, or wait there, until you be endued with power from on high. The on high is referring to God. It's power coming from God, coming from heaven. And endued is the Greek word that means clothed with. Remember that? We're clothed with power from on high. The unbelievers don't have it. It's available to them, but they do not have it. They're, as Tom Burke wrote in a song once, they're empty. They're empties just floating along the life, you know, walking around. They're just empties. No spirit inside that body. But we have it. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Remember the first time you spoke in tongues? Now, Katie spoke in tongues quite young, and probably Jake did, and Hannah. where you may not have realized, okay, I got the gift of the Holy Spirit in me, now I'm going to manifest it. You know, they just maybe just did it. But I remember the first time speaking in tongues, knowing I had the gift of the Holy Spirit in me, but the first time I spoke in tongues and actually words came out, it was just like, wow, this is really something. To utilize that spirit that was in me, I was just flabbergasted. This is Jesus Christ speaking to those apostles, same period of time that we just read in Luke, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. And they did wait in Jerusalem, and on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, we know what happened there. They were in the temple, sitting quietly, praying, and then the gift of Holy Spirit was shed on those 12 apostles, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And an unbeliever, a person without the Spirit of God in them, cannot do that. It's just not available to speak words that come out of your mouth. I'm not much for talking. I mean, some people can talk for hours without stopping. I'm not one of them. But I can't do that with speaking in tongues. I can go on and on and on, and it's like, wow. But if I try to think about what I'm going to say for hours, now I get trouble. So like I said, some people are pretty good at that. They have no trouble talking for hours. But I'm not one of them. Chapter 2, verse 16. This is Peter's response to the people that were flabbergasted at hearing what had just happened. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he goes on to talk about a lot of different scriptures from the Old Testament that deal with the coming with Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and the gift. And in chapter 2, verse 38, his conclusion says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And they did. We have the gift of Holy Spirit. Unbelievers don't. They can't use it. Not available. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Do we live like we have power from on high residing in us, the power of God? Or do we live like we don't have a spirit in us, like the unbelievers? We want to be separate in the sense that we can operate power. Chapter 3, here's an example of Peter, who had, you know, this is shortly after the day of Pentecost, Peter and John, both of them, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, you know, I really can't do this. I saw Jesus do it once, but wow, I don't think I can do this. So, well, here's a little coin. Now, here's what he said. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. One thing he had was he had the gift of the Holy Spirit in him. He had the ability to operate the manifestations. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Manifestation of believing is that you can bring to pass the impossible at your command. It's one of the manifestations. It has to be by revelation. Jay can't just say to the bumper, okay, be sprayed. Done. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be by revelation. And God showed Peter, this guy is going to get healed, and told him, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Rise up and walk. And he did. Incredible. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That's a little different than, that's a little being set apart from the way the world would operate on this. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. You can read anything in the book of Acts. You see these men and women moving with the power of God because they had the gift inside. And they were using the power they were given. They were reflecting on what, their lives were reflecting what God had given them. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Peter and the apostles were apprehended by the religious leaders. They didn't like what was going on. And verse 7. It says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, saith unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These guys were trying to act like Jesus. And they were. Before the day of Pentecost, right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, remember they were behind closed door for fear of the Jews. Now they're standing up in front of these guys, boldly declaring the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something changed. They were using the power that God gave them. And these guys are saying, man, they're acting just like Jesus. And they could, and so can we. We have the same exact power. Let's go to Acts 6. They were acting just like Jesus Christ. They had set themselves apart from the way the man operates without Holy Spirit. Chapter 6, there were new ways to do things. Verse 1, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. The word was growing so quickly, there were a lot of people getting involved with the word, and there were needs that were starting to be missed. Things weren't clicking. Not everything was being done where everybody was getting blessed. There were too many people and not enough work to get it completed. So there's a problem in the church. So they let that go and just kept going in the wrong direction. No. Here's the solution. Then the 12, referring to the apostles, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among the seven of honest report. Here's the job requirements. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, what's the big deal of having Holy, you know, being full of the Holy Spirit? Why do they have to have that? Why do they have to have wisdom? Well, it's going to help them accomplish, take care of the household so that the needs are taken care of. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of believing and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and these other guys, verse 6, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of believing and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So the gift of Holy Spirit that were in those seven men when they had been ordained, and they started taking care of the work of the ministry in that area, the gift of Holy Spirit enabled them and helped them to do it correctly, where people were blessed and there was continual growth of the word in that area. What a big deal that was to have the Holy Spirit as part of a requirement to do that stuff. We're just going to look at a couple examples of how the Spirit of God does help. Let's go to Exodus chapter 35. The Spirit of God helps man get things done the way God would have them to be done. This does. It helps. In the Old Testament, they had Spirit upon them, best that God had available to people. In the New Testament, ever since the ascension of Jesus Christ, it's created in them. We can't lose it. They could. Operates the same way. I don't know all the specifics, what differences there were, if any, but I do know they couldn't speak in tongues and they couldn't interpret tongues because it wasn't available to interpret something you didn't have. But here in Exodus, this is a record where the tabernacle was being built or about to be built, and God gave Moses the architectural and the engineering information concerning it, told them what to do, how to do it, and told them what to do, what type of workers to get. In 35, verse 30, it says, "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamech of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord hath commanded. And Moses called those guys and every wise-hearted in whose heart the Lord hath put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." So the Spirit of God that was upon those men enabled them to do the work that was necessary. God worked with them, giving them understanding, giving them wisdom, the abilities to carry it out, to figure it out and put it together. So it's very helpful. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. Put a 1 after that first one. Chapter 11. But the gift of Holy Spirit is such a benefit to us. It's our greatest asset outside of God Almighty and His Word. What greater asset can we have than the gift of Holy Spirit? It's got everything we need as far as information, power, deliverance. Keeps us alive. Keeps us directed. Chapter 11, verse 14. Here's a section where the needs of the children of Israel were so great, with Moses leading them, he asked God to do them in. He said, "Okay, there's so much burden on my shoulders and on my life for the children of Israel. Just kill me. I'm done. I'd rather be dead. That's how he felt. That's what he said to him. Kill me. Of course, God doesn't kill, and we know that. It wasn't an option, but that's how Moses felt. And here's God's answer. Verse 14. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. There you go, I told you. I pray thee out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. How about that? So whatever that Holy Spirit was to those men, it enabled them to take care of the needs that God's people had, whatever it is. So if they needed revelation, they could get revelation. If they needed to heal, they could heal, whatever it was. If they needed wisdom to discern between two people feuding over something, there it was. But the answer from God was not just any 70 people, but 70 people that he was going to place the Spirit from Moses on them. Pretty cool. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. That was God's answer to the problem. Get me 70 guys. Make sure they're leaders. And I'm going to give them Spirit. It's interesting, God said, and make sure they're actually elders. You know, it was something that he specifically told them. Make sure you check. He's definitely an elder. Chapter 2, here's Daniel. He was included with the wise men of the Chaldeans. He was answerable to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, couldn't remember the dream, demanded of all the wise men to tell him what the dream was. Then the interpretation, they all said, there's no way we're going to know your dream. You're asking too much. And he said, hey, if you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to kill you. Come up with the dream. And they all said, hey, you're really asking too much here. And he was still going to kill him. So Daniel, who is going to be one of those slain, so he goes to God and asks what it was. And God shows him. He tells it to Nebuchadnezzar. And a great turn of events in that here, Daniel was going to be killed by the king. And now all of a sudden, we read what we read here. We went over this last summer or last fall, how God turns the events around. And it's because of Holy Spirit. Verse 46. Then the king, after he hears all that Daniel just told him, fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Turned the events around from being about to be killed to being the biggest, most powerful man on earth falls down in front of him on his face and says, you're just incredible. Your God is a God of gods. What a turn of events. And what did it? He happened to have Spirit upon him, and he asked God for information, and it used that Spirit. Really wild. And the last one we're going to is in Genesis chapter 41, Joseph. You remember Joseph. He was sold as a slave by his lovely brothers to the It wasn't to the Egyptians. It was to the this band of guys going down, John Powhatan's. But he sells them to them because they were about to kill him. They said, hey, we can make some money on this instead. So they pull him out of the pit and sell him. And he's brought down to Egypt as a slave. And he goes from being a slave to getting put in prison, as you know, because of some underage things done unto him. And he went from a prisoner to second in command of all of Egypt, the most powerful country on earth at that time. And here's the response to Pharaoh, the king, who was the leader of Egypt, after Joseph had been given some information to the Pharaoh. And it says, verse 37, chapter 41, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And the Pharaoh said unto his servant, and this is referring to Joseph, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. So he utilized that spirit that he had upon him, and he went from prison to second in command in like a snap. And it was the Spirit of God that was integral in him receiving the information that he got, that got him where he got went. So in light of 1 Peter, in God's command that we should set ourselves apart from the world in all manner of lifestyle, certainly using the Spirit of God that we have separates us. We don't want to live like the guy that's an empty, got nothing there. And if our life and his life look the same, then that means we're not using what we've been given, if they look the same. You know what I mean? It's just kind of the way it is. So, not that that's the case. I'm just saying that that's part of the greatness of what we have available to live separately, is that we can use that Spirit of God, and we want to. We want to use it. We want to use it in everything we do. Ask God, okay, what do I do? Where do I go? What, you know? And we keep asking. God's going to feed us information, and we use that Spirit. I said, when Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, come forth, a dead person's ears responded to that, and the body went from death to life. Now, I know that God's the one to put the life back in there, but those words were obeyed. Isn't that wild? A dead person. It's as bad as it gets. I mean, Jake, if you get sick, you're sick. You can still hear. If you lose your hearing, we can kick you, and you'll know something's happened. But when you're dead, you can talk all day long to that person, and you can kick them and kick them and kick them. You can throw water on them. You can do all kinds of things. You can throw stuff on them. They won't smell nothing. They're dead. But those four words, Lazarus, three words, Lazarus responded to. Isn't that wild? So certainly we are different than the world if we choose to.